Okay. I will. The way the morning's running, okay.
So, call the order this, meeting of the Arizona Physical Therapy Board, June 18, 2019. And let's call to order. So, have a roll call.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Ms. Hunter?
Here.
Dr. Bastillo?
Here.
Dr. Cornwell?
Here.
Ms. Remick?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Let's review and approval of draft minutes. May 28, 2019. Are there any additions, corrections?
Move to approve the minutes.
Okay.
Second.
Moved and been seconded.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Aye.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Okay. Next would be the May 28, 2019 executive meeting minutes. Are there any additions or corrections to that?
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Okay. Item 3, consent agenda, review, considerations, and actions. 3A is applications for licensure and certification. Are there any individuals on that matrix that you'd like to pull out to discuss separately?
I would like to put on the record that I talked to Ms. King, and Ms. King approves all of the applications that she was responsible for.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve the applications of physical therapists licensure upon receipt of passing scores on the MPTE AC Law and Final Transcript.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
All right. Item 3A2, review, consideration, and approval of applications for physical therapist licensure with documentation related to disclosure on personal information section of the application. And those that you'd like to would pull off and discuss separately.
I make a motion to approve these applicants for a physical therapist licensure with documentation related to disclosure on personal information upon passing scores and the AC law exam.
Second.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Okay, so item number 3A3, review, consideration, approval of applications for physical therapist assistant certification upon receipt of passing scores on the MPT AZ Law and final transcripts. Are there any on that matrix that you'd like to discuss separately?
I make a motion to approve these applicants for physical therapist assistant certification upon receipt of passing scores on the MPTE AZ Law and final transcript.
Second.
Moved and seconded.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
All right. Item 3A4 is review, consideration, and approval of applications for physical therapist assistant certification with documentation related to disclosure on personal information section of the application. I'm going to pull any of those off.
Dr. Cornwell, I just wanted to point out on Aaron Krauss, the memo does have a typo. It is not a sale of alcohol to a minor. It is a underage drinking.
Okay.
I move to approve these applicants for a physical therapist assistant certification.
Second.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go to item 4A, review of and possible action on application for physical therapist assistant from applicant requesting ADA computation. So David Darrow is a physical therapist assistant.
He is.
And not a physical therapist.
Correct.
Okay, so.
I move to approve his application for ADA accommodations.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
All right, then, 4B, review and possible action on qualifying applications for physical therapists, licensure, foreign educated graduates, programs not US accredited. Review of proposal for an additional secondary supervisor for the supervised clinical practice period of Mia Mile.
And she has already passed the AZ law.
I move to approve the secondary supervisor for the SCPP for Jamila DeMaio.
Second.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Okay. So let's move to agenda item number 5B. Review, discussion, and possible action for review of initial reviews. These are initial reviews.
Thank you.
Talk 17-36, Mark Van Dam, physical therapist.
Yeah, okay. And if we could just pause 1 minute, Dr. Cornwell, I think we're getting a speaker set for this case. I know that that's Teresa's mom. But I'll introduce it and we can get going.
Okay.
Okay. Complaint 1736, Mark Van Dam. Patient alleges that Mr. Van Dam engaged in sexual harassment when she was a patient in an outpatient physical therapy clinic. This case is for your review.
Okay. This is initial review, but would you like, why don't you introduce?
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Mark Heidelberg. I'm an attorney here in Phoenix. And standing to my left now is Mark Van Dam. I don't know if you have questions for Mr. Van Dam. He has a statement that he would like to provide to you, and then if you have questions after that, he's more than happy to answer those. And then I may just have some brief closing remarks.
Okay. Okay. So let's go ahead, and if you'd like to make your opening statement, go ahead.
I'm sorry. You're going to speak up, Lena. This one.
Is it okay if he does it from a seated position?
Yes.
It's not this. Okay.
I'm a little nervous, so I'm going to read most of it. First, I would like to thank you, Lord, for allowing me to speak directly to you today. When I first heard of these allegations, I was shocked. I had no idea that this patient perceived our interaction in this harassing way, or I would have asked another therapist to take over her care. These allegations have caused me and my family great personal distress. I'm glad my wife is here with me today supporting me. I consider these allegations to be a very serious matter, and I have given considerable thought on how I should interact with my patients because I never want to have complaints like these raised against me ever again. I more carefully weighed the words I use and have reevaluated how I touch patients, how I educate them, and how I interact with the physical therapy staff when patients are present. I take pride in my work as a physical therapist and my professional and personal reputation, and I categorically deny any improper conduct or sexual misconduct. I avoid treating patients alone in a room, and I never treated her alone. All of her treatments were in a highly visible area. Many treatments were performed about 15 feet from the staff office. I often treat her in the parallel bars, which is next to the main foot traffic corridor used by all the ortho and occupational therapists and their patients. The corner that we use for the exercises is visible from most of the gym and is located by the main entrance into the gym. Our gym is very large and very busy with upwards of 30 people in it at any given time. At no time did I have her place her hand on my crotch or encourage her to touch me. That simply did not happen. I did not make any sexual innuendos during our treatment sessions. My intentions were wholly focused on assisting her in overcoming her dizziness, emotion, sensitivity. She accuses me of telling her not to eat hard meats. I do not use that term, nor has it occurred to me to use that term when we discuss typical migraine triggers. She accuses me of harassing her by using the word hard. I did use that word in conjunction with how her home exercise program is going, but I intended no sexual connotation during our treatments. Because of this complaint, I have now changed how I ask my patients about their home exercise program. I am married to an English teacher, and it has been my practice to use correct English. Therefore, I used to say, you may stand in the corner, or you may take a break. However, after these allegations, I now say things like, if you're ready, you may stand, or if you would like, you may sit down. I do use a gait belt with balance training to ensure safety, and generally place them in removed belts rather than have patients struggle to get them on or off. I did not realize it was an issue for her, or I would have had her do it for herself. During balance training, I was trained to try to have patients lose their balance toward me rather than away, and I have never had her purposely lose her balance so that she might fall into me. This patient also alleges that I referred her to Dr. Kaufman, the neurologist, because I knew that she would fall in love with him. I believe that she was referred to Dr. Kaufman by Dr. Macias. She never told me that she was in love with Dr. Kaufman, and I never encouraged her to perform any sexual behavior with anyone. Dr. Kaufman and I have a strictly professional relationship. I have met him twice in the last decade, once at his office and once at mine. We do not hang out socially. I did not take any videos of this patient or of any patient. At the time, I had a flip phone, and I still don't have a phone capable of taking videos. I have a statement from Dr. Kaufman stating that he has received no videos of any patients from me. During the course of treatment, this patient was tested with a computerized dynamic posturographer, the Balance Master. This specific test we used was the sensory organization test. It is a formal test, and the patient stands on the platform alone. I did not go into the box, and I did not have her place her hand on my crotch. That did not happen. I have a statement from two colleagues regarding the discussions we've had about woodworking. We are all woodworkers as hobbyists and discussed our current woodworking projects. There was no sexual connotation present or intended in our discussions. I am at a complete loss to explain the long litany of complaints against me. I categorically deny any misconduct. I have found these allegations to be very upsetting. It has been a good learning lesson in that I have discovered that, unfortunately, any innocent conversation can be twisted, and I have learned to be very careful of what I say, how I say it, and I carefully consider how the words might be misconstrued or misinterpreted, because I never want to have complaints raised against me like this ever again.
Thank you. There's no others that I know of that would like to speak to this issue. We'll open it up for board questions. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Van Dam?
Mr. Van Dam, my name is Peggy Hunter. I'm a PTA. Did the patient ever complain to anyone in the clinic about your behavior or supposed alleged behavior? Excuse me.
To my knowledge, no.
Okay. Do patients that have this type of diagnosis, do they sometimes have hallucinations?
I think she's the only one that I can think of that was having some hallucinations. She's talked about how she could see patterns of dizziness in the wood floor of her home. Or she had some strange complaints how she could hear traffic and how it mimicked her dizziness. If that was a hallucinatory type of complaint, that would be the first time I've heard of that. I don't know what to, I, at the time, I didn't know what to make of it.
Did she drive herself to the clinic?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Any other questions?
Yes. Can you speak a little bit to your training on the Balance Master?
A few years ago, I took a course specifically on how to use the Balance Master up in Oregon. I think it was a multi-day course where they went over all the different testing and how can you use the training.
Okay. There was a statement here that said that the Epley maneuver, I believe it's called, was performed repeatedly. Can you explain why that might happen?
Sure. Her doctor, it was Dr. Lamont, who initially referred her to us, felt that she had benign paroxysmal positional vertigo. And so the evaluating therapist performed a Hall pipe. It was questionably positive, and so she performed the Epley. When she came back, our typical treatment course is to make sure that their dizziness complaints are not related to BPBV. So if she had vertigo or complaints of vertigo, to ensure that BPBV wasn't present, we would perform a Hall pipe to rule out benign paroxysmal positional vertigo.
So if you do not think that it's BPPV on visit two, would you still test for it on subsequent visits?
Sure, you might, because it could occur at any time. BPPV is a funny kind of animal in that sometimes the Hall pipe is negative. Even though they have BPPV, the particles may be stuck. So it might be done on a person like this multiple times to ensure that they don't have BPPV. And I've had multiple patients in my career who initially presented as negative, but a history positive for BPPV and subsequent visits showed up with it.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Would you or your attorney like to make a closing statement?
I would, Your Honor. Just sorry, I'm used to being in court.
He likes it, though. Yeah.
Well, then in that case, I'm used to standing when I talk, and I'm going to be very brief. But I think before you is a man that's been mumbled, that takes this very seriously, that loves his profession and wants to continue in his profession. We've tried to address every point that's been raised by the patient. And the one point that I'd like to remind you is that on April 11th, 2018, the patient withdrew her complaint. Now, I understand that the complaint has to go forward, but that is something to consider. We thank you for allowing us to be here, and if there are any additional questions that are raised, please feel free to ask us. And in closing, just thank you for the time.
Is Ms. Simone here?
No.
Well, not that I know of.
I make a motion to dismiss this.
Second.
Discussion.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Ms. Remick.
Yes.
This complaint has been dismissed.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's consider case number 19-07, Steve Kempson, physical therapist. So, come forward.
The other gal can come forward. Do you want the other gal forward too, or just swap?
I was going to have her come forward. After the admission. Okay, so just like the last one, this is an informal hearing.
This is an initial review.
An informal initial. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Okay. I'm Stephen Kempton. I'm a physical therapist.
Good morning. I'm Steve Perlmutter, attorney for Mr. Kempton.
Okay. And I understand that either or both of you would like to make a statement, right?
I would, Mr. President. Mr. President, members of the board, there are two parts to this case, and I would like to address them separately. First, the patient complaint. Second, documentation. Mr. Kempton's character and integrity have been impugned by a mistaken or false accusation. This after a decade of practice without a complaint. The complainant alleged inappropriate conduct and voyeurism during the exam, both of which Mr. Kempton categorically denies. The complainant was fully dressed during the exam, wearing a tank top, a sleeveless knit shirt, and undergarments. Because the complainant had significantly rounded shoulders, the scapular spine was more than 50% off the table, Mr. Kempton appropriately evaluated the pectoralis muscles. I'm sure you know pectoralis assessment requires the therapist to touch the patient either on or near the breasts. The screenshots we presented from a physical therapy education video confirm this fact. To gain access to the pectoralis muscles, Mr. Kempton merely elevated the patient's tank top strap and bra strap. This did not expose the complainant's breasts from any vantage point. The complainant even remarked to the investigator, I quote, "He did it professionally, so I thought it was normal." In fact, the patient was correct. Mr. Kempton did perform the exam professionally, and it was normal physical therapy practice to do so. Improper touching and viewing cases typically pit the credibility of one person against the other, and there is a tendency to side with the accuser, despite a lack of evidence. Consequently, when a potential client calls me and denies these allegations, my first question is, will you take a polygraph? If the answer is no, I will not defend the case. It's well documented that polygraphs are accurate 75 to 88% of the time. Polygraphs are used routinely by the Arizona Police Departments in criminal investigations and by state and federal courts for sex offender testing. For Mr. Kempton's polygraph, we selected a certified forensic law enforcement polygraph examiner who performs polygraphs for Maricopa County, Yuma County, and federal courts. Mr. Kempton's polygraph clearly showed that he was being truthful when he denied touching or looking at the patient's breasts unrelated to physical therapy diagnosis or treatment. We have presented you with a complete polygraph report, scientific backup, polygraph examiner's credentials. In summary, there is clear and convincing evidence that Mr. Kempton did not touch or view this patient inappropriately. This part of the complaint cannot stand. Regarding the patient record, Mr. Kempton only charged for services that he performed. Last week, we filed an addendum to the medical records, specifically a treatment flow sheet, which showed that the treatments administered matched the billings. Mr. Kempton admits there is room for improvement in his documentation. While he performed a comprehensive exam, he did not document everything, particularly some of the normal results. However, Mr. Kempton disputes most of the deficiencies alleged in the investigative report. He is prepared to discuss them at your request. While the patient record is not ideal, I believe it is fair to say that it still meets the definition of adequate patient records, as defined by ARS 32-2044. Mr. Kempton deeply regrets that the complainant had a bad experience. He tries very hard to achieve full patient satisfaction. Mr. Kempton has thought a great deal about this experience and what he could do to prevent this from happening in the future. In summary, Mr. Kempton did not inappropriately touch or view the complainant, and we have produced objective evidence of that fact. While his documentation could stand improvement, any deficiencies in the record do not reach the level of a statutory violation. We request that the complaint be dismissed. Mr. Kempton is happy to answer questions. Thank you.
Okay. We have one other person that has indicated that she would like to speak to this matter. Would you like to come forward?
Hello, thank you for having me. I didn't come up with a big statement to explain to you guys. The only thing that I have to say is I just want justice to be served. Before I made this complaint, I did some extensive research on protocols and what is expected in these types of environments. I've been to a couple other physical therapy places, and so I'm familiar with how they work and what goes on. And I also took the time to speak with another professional physical therapist before I made the complaint, because I still wasn't certain, I wasn't sure. An accusation like this isn't small, and so I wanted to make sure that before I move forward, I had some information, and I explained to her what had happened, and she informed me that that wasn't necessary for him to. He really did go into my bra, he lifted up my straps, and as a professional myself, I work sitting behind a client while they're on top of a massage table. And if I were to lift their bra strap up, I can see everything. Now, if he had to go in there, he should have informed me, which he did not. As far as I know, you're supposed to be walk through, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to touch you here. Is this okay? And he didn't either. None of that. And so, again, in my position as someone sitting behind the client, if I were to just lift up their bra strap, I can see everything, and I'm sure they would be offended. However, again, because he's a professional, I trusted him, and I second-guessed myself for a whole week. You know, I sat there and I did research, and I just wasn't certain, and once I found out from the other professional physical therapist that that wasn't necessary, it really broke me. I broke down because I trusted this person. I went into their office trusting that they would help me and alleviate any kind of pain that I was going through. And in fact, I was violated. And it's been hard to deal with. But again, I didn't come here to, I don't know. Sorry, I'm nervous. Basically, I just want justice to be served. So this doesn't happen to anybody else, and to make a stand for those who have had this happen and don't have a voice. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Just for the record, you are YC, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Broom. Yeah.
And she's indicated that she's willing to answer questions.
Should I have been sit here?
That would be fine. Right. So, Mr. Kempton has indicated that he's willing to answer any questions as well. So does anybody have any questions for either?
With regard to the polygraph, my name is Joshua Greer. I'm a public member. I read that it was videotaped.
Yes.
Or would you be willing to provide us with the video?
I don't have the video, but I'm sure you could subpoena the video.
Okay. And then I have some questions for, is it Dr. or Mr. Kempton?
You call me Mr. Kempton.
Okay, for Mr. Kempton. During your exam of patient YC, did you touch her breast?
I touched over the breast area to palpate.
Under her bra? Or
it was under her bra.
And then did you lift up her bra strap during the exam?
I shifted it over to the side, over the side of her shoulder.
Do you have any other questions?
Mr. Kempton, to Mr. Burr's point, you're in a examining room with the patient, a female patient, did you inform her before you did that what you were going to do?
I did. I did. When she was laying supine, I told her possible reasons of her shoulders being rounded the way that they were. Mm-hmm. And so I talked about that, and I told her you pick minor, pick major, and deal with that causes the shoulder blades to round.
Okay, well, you know, with all due respect, even though she's a massage therapist, some patients might not know what the pec major, pec minor are.
Yeah.
Did you show her on yourself before?
I did not.
Okay. Is there a reason why in your documentation that it's not documented that the pectoralis is shortened?
No. There's no reason. I just did not document it.
Can you tell me what other tests you performed besides palpation to determine that the pectoralis were shortened?
Yes, as my lawyer describes, when the patient lies supine on the table, if you look at the spine and the scapula, mm-hmm. if they're elevated off the table more than 50%, mm-hmm. that's an indication of excessively rounded shoulders that she could be pec minor.
Okay, that's an observation, but did you do any specific tests
No.
too?
No.
Okay. Miss Carrera?
Weissy.
Did Mr. Kempton inform you that he was going to put his hand on your breast or lift your straps or anything?
No.
Thank you, ma'am.
Ms. Weissy, I believe you said you worked with people on a massage chair. Are you a massage therapist?
No.
Okay. What is your profession? Let me ask you this way. Does your profession have any training regarding the muscles in your body?
No. Okay.
I'm just trying to protect your privacy. If you want to tell us what your profession is, you're free to, but you don't have to. Mr. Kempton, just going back to Ms. Hunter's question, did you tell her you were going to touch her, put your hands inside her bra?
Yes, just to be clear, I didn't go inside her bra. I went on the ladder, on the distal end, or on the,
okay.
Close to the armpit.
Did you?
Yes.
Before you did that, did you say, this
yes.
is where I'm going to put my hand?
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
Your lawyer indicated that you've examined your practice based on this experience and you would do things differently. What things would those be?
So I will shut the door for the initial intake information because I want to protect the patient's privacy, and so I will shut that, but there's two things that I have started since then is I bring another patient and an employee in with me to be a witness. And secondly, when I start the physical exam part, or the observation part of my exam, I open the door.
And then, Ms. Weissy, you indicated there were some things like telling you what was happening that would have put you at ease. Is there anything else that you can think of that could have been done to have alleviated your concerns about this?
Well, if he had someone in the room.
Okay.
And if he were to inform me what he was doing, I would have been able to say yes or no, whether I wanted that to happen. Obviously, someone went into my bra, I'm not going to allow them to, but I was not informed. Okay. And he didn't just go into my armpit, he went around into my areola on both sides. And my bra strap was lifted straight up, not to the side, but me laying on the table, straight up, you could see everything.
Questions for either individual? Would you like Mr. Kempton Would you or your attorney like to make a closing statement?
I would like to make a brief closing statement. Mr. Kempton regrets the situation. He regrets that the patient did not have a satisfactory experience. He regrets the taking their time to do this. On the other hand, he did not touch her inappropriately. He did not view her inappropriately. I think we've shown that reasonably clearly by objective testing, which I feel is a necessity in cases like this. I don't quite understand the complainant. On the other hand, I certainly respect her view. It takes a lot of guts to come in front of the board and speak in this way. And while I respect her, I don't think that what she alleges happened, and I believe we have presented objective evidence to show that what she feels, she was mistaken.
With all due respect, how can you say something like that? You weren't there.
I'd say it on the basis of a polygraph exam. Which,
are those admissible in court?
It depends on the court. As I said, police departments use them, courts use them for sex offender testing. The reliability is 75% to 88%. That's pretty good reliability.
I still think it's inappropriate for you to put your feelings and say it before the patient.
I apologize.
I see. Would you like to make any closing statement? You don't need to. Okay. All right, then we'll have to board discussion. I'll entertain any motions.
Mr. Greer, FYI, if you have an interest in the occupation, it's listed on page 46.
Okay. I didn't think I knew I'd read it somewhere. I didn't think it was a massage therapist. I'd like to see the polygram video. We can get that, but I'd like to see it.
So,
I think
seems to me that would be part of.
You could continue the matter and request that council provide that to the board.
So, do we postpone this? Do we table it? Do we?
You could continue it or table it, and I'm sure that council will provide that to the board.
Instead of continuing or tabling it, could we just send it to an informal hearing? I'd like to get the testimony of these people under oath. They were sworn in today.
I second that.
That would be another option.
Yeah.
And then we can maybe get counsel's affirmation that he will provide a copy
and
of the videotape.
And if he won't provide it, can we subpoena it?
Yes, we can, but I'm sure he will provide it.
Okay. He's letting you have it. So.
Right.
Is that a motion, Mr. Greer?
A formal motion to move it to an informal hearing.
And Ms. Hunter, you seconded? Ms. Hunter, you seconded that motion?
Any other discussion regarding this? Okay, then let's call the question.
So the motion is to move this complaint 1907 to an informal hearing and to obtain the video of the polygraph. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Thank you very much for everybody
Thank
coming.
You.
Thank you.
Let's move to item 5B3, case 19-14, Benjamin Hervé, physical therapist.
So, in summary, complaint 1914, Benjamin Erb. Mr. Erb was charged with 12 counts of sexual misconduct with a minor, a Class 2 felony, dangerous crime against children on April 2, 2019. He did not notify the board within the 10-day requirement of the charges, and Mr. Erb remains incarcerated at this time as well. He does not have any counsel for this complaint.
Okay. But he has been, he was notified.
He was properly notified.
Okay.
I would move that we send this to a formal hearing. The question I have before doing it is, are there any other disciplinary issues that we might want to forward with, I couldn't really see any that applied except for maybe number 12.
I'll second for discussion.
Number 7 potentially could apply, but it hasn't been adjudicated yet.
You can certainly recommend that we add ARS 3244-12 to the allegations for the informal hearing. For the formal hearing. My apologies.
Sorry, tell me those again, please. Are they listed on? They're listed on the.
So 3224 number 12 is failing to adhere to the recognized standards of ethics of the physical therapy profession.
And Mona, can you clarify if we have to? I think historically you've had to identify a subset of these.
Yes, you would have to identify those. And also I would ask that we do have a rule, a concurrent rule, 32, that relates to 323208. And give me a moment, I'll go ahead and find that. But we should probably also include the rule.
You said 8?
Right. We have a rule that is a companion rule that goes with the mandatory reporting.
Oh, gotcha.
And
it's R-424-312.
Right. Ms. Baskin, do we have the ability just to revoke this license?
At this time, no. You would have to move it to a formal hearing, but that would be something that could easily be expedited.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
But so, he's not practicing right now.
No.
Well, he's incarcerated.
Right.
So it is.
I understand.
I think my question is the timing. I mean, it's like, I guess we could move it to a formal and then just delay when it actually is held, because I think he ought to be here and be able to participate.
I don't know if he'll ever be able to be present.
So how do we guarantee that he has due process?
We'll notify him of it.
And that he would send a representative?
He can send a representative. He can ask us to continue it if he thinks he's going to get out. He'll have options.
I can tell you what I know is his wife is providing him with the materials that she's receiving.
The statutes that you had cited.
Excuse me.
Did you want to include on that?
I wanted to include a violation of 3224412.
And then, Mr. Greer, you're going to have to go through that document and identify specifically.
Principle 1, Principle 2, Principle 4. Principle 9, Principle 10. Is that good enough?
That's good enough.
Is that all of them?
Uh-oh.
I have 1, 2, 9, 10, correct?
4.
I'm sorry, thank you.
4.
1, 2, 4, 9, 10. And then we'll also be adding R-424-312, which is the rules accompaniment to ARS 32-3208.
Like to
we do not have a second. We just have Mr. Greer.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
I'm sorry. Thank you, Ms. Roman.
I'd like to make a friendly amendment if we remove ARS 32-2044-8. That one just doesn't seem to fit.
Yeah, I think she was talking about
3208.
Because it's listed here as 2044-8.
Where?
That does exist.
It does.
That does exist.
It
so,
does exist, but I'm not sure it's applicable.
Okay.
What page are you on? I'm
sorry. So he's on the investigative report, page 1. One of the findings and notices to Mr. Erb was 3220448, practicing as a physical therapist or working as a physical therapist assistant when physical or mental abilities are impaired by disease or trauma, by the use of controlled substances or other habit-forming drugs, chemicals, or alcohol, or by other causes. Dr. Cornwell has suggested that the board consider removal of this from the allegations.
I agree.
Okay. So we'll take that as a friendly amendment. Joe, you okay with that? Just a second.
Yes. I just, will you...
Do you want to do that as a motion, just so we have it clear? So Mr. Greer, Dr. Cornwell, if you would make that as a motion?
Yeah, I move to, we amend the motion to remove ARS 32-2044-8.
Second.
Do you have something to say before we take a vote?
I would, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, would Dr. Donahue be able to articulate why that was included in the investigative report?
Yeah.
Sure. It was included because by other causes could be a pedophile reaction or a pedophile problem or a predator problem for Mr. Erb if he was actually treating inpatients. While we know of the situation with his children and we have his actual testimony, that does not preclude him from being a danger to the public in his practice.
Okay. So
we don't have any evidence that he...
We do not.
No, we don't.
That is correct. And remember, the allegations are set forth when we receive the complaint, not after the investigation. So you have a motion that's been first and seconded to remove ARS 32-2044-8. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
That will be removed from the allegations for the formal hearing. What will be added is ARS 32-2044-12, Principle 1, 4, 9, and 10, R-424-312. That's your current motion.
Right, so any discussion on the current motion with its amendment? Let's call the question then.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
It will be moved to a formal hearing.
Can I just ask a question on the timing of that? Will we hear that next month?
You will not because of the process notice, but we will have that available for you in August.
It would be August. We don't have enough time for
that. That's fine. In the event that he is released from prison, I think it would be essential to either get an agreement from him that he is not going to practice.
We attempted to get that agreement, to which he refused.
So I guess my next question would be, can we vote on the summary suspension until this comes?
Well, we're not agendized for it.
So you could, at the end of this meeting, suggest that you want another meeting, that you could take that possibility up if the board chooses.
And I'm not, if he's going to be in jail, I don't know if we have a need to do it.
No.
I think my thoughts are, will we be notified if he's released?
I do not know.
I don't know that the board would. That would be something that we could reach out to the prosecutor and find out, but I know that, that his offense is a non-bond or non-bailable offense. So.
So that means we have a certain guarantee that he would not be released.
Right, based on the criminal statute. Right.
Okay.
And the type of conduct, but that's something that we can certainly monitor.
Yeah, that would be my request. As long as he's in prison, I don't think we need to go through the time of summarily suspending him. It just won't have an effect. He's in prison.
Right.
My concern is if he gets out, but if he's in an unbondable offense, I think the earliest he goes to trial is after August.
Okay. And as an administrative option, the board could always hold, you know, a special meeting to hold this formal hearing. But that would be your executive director and the board to make that decision.
Yeah, they would only speed it up by maybe like 2 weeks or a week if we did that.
Have we voted?
No.
You have not?
Yes.
We did? We did not.
No, we voted on the original.
Yeah, we did not.
We voted on the amendment.
Right, and then we just had a discussion about summary suspension.
Right.
So the motion is still before you. Is there any further discussion? Are you ready for the vote?
I'm confused. Did we vote on it already?
Yeah, you did.
We voted on it.
You did vote on it.
Okay, good.
Because you did.
All right.
Okay.
I missed it too.
Yes, you did.
My apologies.
Twice.
You can always be confused about the same thing.
There was a motion to amend and change the conclusions of law, and then I thought you had a second motion to move it to form.
We voted on both of them.
You did.
That's what I understood.
Okay.
We're good. Okay, good. Thank you.
Thanks, Village.
Okay. All right.
Let's go to case number 19-15, Adam Kopp.
We need to get Mr. Kopp on the phone, and Mr. Perlmutter, you're going to be representing him. Can you?
Yes.
If you can get Mr. Kopp on the phone. Well, he's going to be out of state. Mr. Perlman, do you mind doing another speaker slip for this case? Would you mind doing another speaker slip for this case?
We're going to bring it for you.
Excuse me?
Is the case, have we called the case yet? I know we're getting you on the phone.
But... No, it's still an initial.
I know. He's 4 days late. Want a dismissal because I think we're four days after the dismissal, after the 10-day reporting. So I would move to dismiss this case.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I don't know.
I'm willing to second.
Okay, discussion.
I just think he's 4 days late. Mm-hmm. If he would have reported it 4 days earlier, yes, 10 days is 10 days, but it's out of state. I think we can overlook 4 days.
I don't think I can overlook 4 days. Sorry.
So you have a motion on the table to dismiss.
I think
you're in discussion.
I would be okay with the letter of concern.
Okay. Maybe we need to get on the topic. Do you want to vote on it at the table?
Well, you do have a motion. Do you want to vote on it
We're
first?
We're still in discussion?
You're still in discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I would at least like to go through the process
okay,
of
let's
it.
Let's get him on the
phone.
Okay.
All right, back on the phone account.
So well, let's table the motion.
You're withdrawing your motion?
Withdrawn.
Okay, you're withdrawing.
Okay,
all right.
Motion withdrawn.
Okay, do we have the second motion?
Do we have a second to withdraw the motion?
Oh, yeah, we have.
Yeah,
oh, no, to withdraw.
That would be Karen.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Good.
Just say yes, withdrawn.
Okay,
yes,
now you can give him
Karen.
Sorry.
Scott, would you like one for
oh,
Mr. Kopp
yes,
as
yes.
well?
No, because he's not present. Mr. Kopp?
Yes.
This is Karen Donahue, the executive director for the board. Are you ready to have your for your initial review?
Yeah. Can you give me a minute to walk outside of my rehab building?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I'll be in a place where I can chat 30 seconds.
Very well. And then, Mark, you can take it from there.
Okay, are you there?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. This is Dr. Cornwall. So this is a an initial review. We have your attorney here who's indicated that he would like to make an opening statement. Would you like to make a statement as well?
Yes, I would like to make a statement.
Okay, so let's go with your attorney first, and you can go second.
Okay, great, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Mr. Kopp has never had a board complaint or disciplinary action in any of the four states in which he is licensed. He has no history of DUI, substance abuse, or significant mental health issues. Mr. Kopp took a solo boating trip on April 21st of this year on the North Platte River near his home in Laramie, Wyoming. Because he did not eat or drink before the trip and wore a heavy diving suit, he became extremely dehydrated. Mr. Kopp was very thirsty after the trip and foolishly started drinking wine more than he intended to. He was arrested for speeding and DUI. His court case is currently pending. Meanwhile, he has full driving privileges and no ignition interlock device. Although not required to, Mr. Kopp completed a 10-hour DUI education course. This lapse was certainly out of character for him. Mr. Kopp has distinguished himself in a number of ways. As an Eagle Scout, a recipient of a research scholarship and research award at NAU, an assistant coach of the NAU Rugby Club, an author or co-author of four publications in peer-reviewed scientific journals, and an ecologist with the U.S. Geological Survey. Mr. Kopp is very remorseful and embarrassed about this mistake, a mistake he deeply regrets and will never repeat. Mr. Kopp self-reported the arrest 14 business days after it occurred, exceeding the 10-day requirement by 4 days. He takes full responsibility for the late reporting, but I would like to point out 3 mitigating circumstances. First, Mr. Kopp practices in Wyoming, and he is licensed in 3 other states. He knew about the Arizona reporting requirement, but he was unaware of the short 10-day window. Note that California has a 30-day requirement, and Wyoming and Colorado have no reporting requirement. In my law practice, fully 35% of DUI clients miss Arizona's 10-day reporting requirement. Some licensees even believe that there's no reporting requirement until the criminal case has been fully adjudicated. Second, criminal defense attorneys typically remind their professional clients to report misdemeanors. Unfortunately, Mr. Kopp's attorney did not advise him to self-report. Third, Mr. Kopp was very shaken up after spending 17 hours in a Wyoming jail. It took him several days to recover from the experience of losing his freedom. In summary, Mr. Kopp has no prior history of board complaints or DUI. He made a significant error by drinking and driving. He was 4 days late reporting this incident, but there are important mitigating factors. Mr. Kopp has acted in good faith without deceit or dishonesty. He has fully complied with this investigation and does acknowledge the wrongful nature of his conduct. Mr. Kopp has learned his lesson, and I hope the board will see fit to dismiss the case. Mr. Kopp would like to address you now.
Okay, Mr. Kopp, welcome to say what you'd like.
Okay, thank you. Members of the board, I made 2 grievances, and I'm embarrassed and ashamed of my conduct. It was definitely foolish and dangerous of me to drink and drive. It's also my responsibility to know the recording laws of all the states in which I'm licensed. No excuses. My family, my career in physical therapy, and my reputation are extremely important to me. And I put all those in jeopardy with my mistakes. I offer you my sincerest apologies, and I can assure you that this will not happen again. Again, I accept full responsibility for my actions. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So at this point, the board will. Will the board have any questions for either Mr. Kopp or his attorney? All right. So we will move into board discussion. All right.
Okay.
I move that we send Mr. Kopp a letter of concern. And
stating what?
That
an advisory letter or a letter of concern? One is disciplinary, one is not.
Advisory
letter.
Thank you very much. Relative to drinking and driving and being up on all statutes for any state he is licensed in.
Second.
So we're in discussion about the motion.
You know, we've gone over this before. The fact that the reporting requirement is not in the Practice Act, you know, a lot of PTs miss it. And he missed it by 4 days.
And it is in the rules, just to be fair.
It's in the rules.
Okay.
But he missed it by 4 days. He reported it. Had he reported it 4 days earlier, we wouldn't have done anything. I think we should dismiss it.
Okay. Any thoughts?
My thought is, if you're in a situation like that, if I were in a situation like that, the first thing I would do is look up to see what the requirements were with my license or certificate. So I don't think that's a good excuse. But I agree an advisory letter would be appropriate.
I think that for me, an advisory letter is, it's not disciplinary, in it, but we're not ignoring it either.
So the motion before you is a non-disciplinary advisory letter, which results in the dismissal of the complaint 19-15. Are you ready for the vote?
I think so.
Mr. Greer?
No.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
No.
Oh, we have a tight vote. Motion fails.
No,
it passes. It passes.
Oh, I'm sorry. It does pass. Yeah, because of the time.
I can even get it back.
Mr. Kopp?
Yes.
We're done. Do you have any questions? I didn't know if you
yes, could you explain the detail? I've gotten generalized of what happened, but could you explain what that means to me? And could you explain the details of what just happened? Is this in layman's terms?
This is it's not a dismissal, but it's not a discipline either. And
okay.
Staff will contact you and answer all your questions relative to it. But it's, statute says it's a letter of
it's advisory. An advisory letter. So that he'll be receiving a letter in the mail.
Yeah. So you'll get a letter in the mail.
Okay.
But it's not disciplinary. Do you make sense?
And it doesn't require him to do anything.
You don't have to do anything. It would be nice to read that letter. Okay?
Okay.
All right?
Just don't drink and drive anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Board. Thank you, Board.
Thank you.
All right, let's do the last one, and then we can take a break. This is 5C1 Chelsea. Ms. Ayla, Physical Therapist Assistant, review, discussion, and possible action for request for early termination.
I move that we grant the request for early termination.
She left the table.
Okay, it's been moved. Do we have a second? I'll second it.
I'm just going to make note that Ms. Baskins left the table at 9:38.
Thank you.
We have a motion that's been first and second to grant early termination for Ms. Mazalia. Are you ready for the vote? Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
No.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, so we have a 10 o'clock formal hearing.
Yes.
Let's take a break.
And Ms. Baskin is returning
to the table at 9:39.
So we're in recess?
You are in recess.